Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins.
And wouldn't it be great if Congress could just pass a bill so we could have a secure border?
The greatest lie that was ever told.
We all knew it was a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, President Trump was asked about the border during his interview on Meet the Press. And I mean, I like how he took a moment to just sort of reflect and pat himself on the back. And he should.
That is true. Yes.
Border crossings are at their lowest level ever recorded. Is the border now secure?
Yeah, it's really secure.
It's absolutely
isn't that good
secure.
That when you say that, doesn't that just sound good? After being abused for years by an incompetent president that allowed people to pour through an open border, criminals from all over the world, murderers and insane people from mental institutions and insane asylums, isn't it a beautiful thing when you say it's the most secure it's ever been in the history of our country? Isn't that a nice statement?
Yeah. It is. You know, it would have been great if Trump would have gone a step further. See, you know, they said that before, if you remember.
The border is secure.
Remember Mayorkas?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Department of Homeland Security?
Mm-hmm.
And he said the border was secure. And remember that, Kristen. Did you push back at all? No, you didn't. Did you not know that people were pouring across the border? You had to have known.
That's the thing about hiding stuff in 1938 and hiding stuff today. I mean, you've got journalists, you know, online journalists, internet journalists.
Bill Malusion on TV every day.
Everybody's showing the same picture. People flooding across the border.
Yep.
I don't get it, man. I just don't. That's where I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Because it's all coordinated. That's what it is. The legacy media, synchronized media, call it what you want, was synchronized with the left and the Democrats, and it was all on purpose. Said it at the time.
It has to be, or else it couldn't have happened the way it happened.
Yes, and once they got closer to the election and saw what an issue it was for them, then all of a sudden, we're going to have to tighten this up a bit. That's what happened. They wanted a future voting bloc forever. That was part of it. And that's why there's so much of a fight going on right now. It's just crazy.
It still just boggles my mind. I mean, everybody saw it.
Yes.
Everybody. It's like Biden's decline. Everybody saw that too.
Yeah.
We all saw it.
And you wonder if Greg Abbott had not started sending busloads to New York City and D.C. and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ron DeSantis with Martha's Vineyard, that was also a great one. If those things didn't happen, would people have known? Because I don't know if media would have even paid attention to it. It was only when it became such a huge issue in those cities and states. As far as the southern states, they never paid attention to it.
Well, in the case of Chicago, it was neighborhoods that all of a sudden rose up. Well, wait a minute.
Well, it was in every town it happened.
You haven't done anything in this city.
Of course. Yeah.
But for a city like Chicago, which is so far left, to come out and say, hey, we got a problem here, you know, and the residents did it.
Well, to be fair, so they did in New York to anyone that would pay attention to them.
Yeah.
So just there you go.
Brutal, man.
And then the left has also been talking about what was Trump saying the other day? Is he saying that, what, our kids are spoiled? They have too many dolls? How dare he?
Yeah. Well, he was.
And this was a question.
Yeah, this was about the tariff situation, especially with China, during this interview on Meet the Press, where she was asked about something that he said the other day, where he's like, "Well, do you really need that many dolls?"
Exactly. Yes.
We're doing really well. psychologically, I mean, the fake news was giving me such press on the tariffs. The tariffs are going to make us rich. We're going to be a very rich country.
So let's talk about the tariffs. And I want to ask you about something you said this week. Got a lot of attention. You were at your cabinet meeting. You said, quote, I'm going to quote what you said, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls.
Yeah.
And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. Are you saying that your tariffs will cause some prices to go up?
No, I think your tariffs are going to be great for us because it's going to make us rich.
But you said some dolls are going to cost more. Isn't that an acknowledgement that some prices will go up?
I don't think a beautiful baby girl needs, that's 11 years old, needs to have 30 dolls. I think they can have three dolls or four dolls.
Are you saying Americans could see empty store shelves?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't need to have 30 dolls. They can have three. They don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have five.
I mean, listen, that is dangerously close, in my opinion, to you'll own nothing and like it. But as the parent of a five-year-old daughter, that hit my soul in a way I didn't think could be touched.
Really?
I think I had that conversation with my daughter at Walmart the other day. That exact one. You don't need 30 dolls. You can have three.
What did she say to that?
But I want my Chinese goods at affordable prices.
She said, you know who else?
Yeah, you know who else did this? Hitler.
Yeah. She looked up and, Daddy, you sound an awful lot like Hitler.
Hitler. He had a two-doll thing going on in Germany.
She's not calling me Dad anymore. She's calling me Führer.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I suppose that's one of those things where if you like Trump, that's hilarious. I got to admit, that's pretty funny to me.
It is.
If you don't like Trump, you're like, hey, how dare he say how much is too much for anybody? Okay, his point is, it's a lot of crap from China. We don't need all of it. Okay, we're trying to make the United States strong. Remember what happened after COVID and the supply chain? And what, we can't get prescriptions? We can't get things we need? We can't get masks because they're all made in China? What do we make here? And there was that feeling at the time, yeah, we got to get back to manufacturing.
Yeah, and who is he to assume that girls want dolls?
Oh, boy. It could be little boys.
Maybe they want a dump truck, huh?
I wonder if the left's going to come out at Kristen Welker talking about the girls and the dolls and how that's terrible. And it's damaging.
I think
I gave
them an idea if they haven't thought of it yet.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Meanwhile, there is an existential threat to the citizenry of the United States. We may not get the news we need from PBS.
Right.
I can't even.
I know.
Yeah, the head of PBS was on Face the Nation talking about Trump's effort to defund PBS, and this is Paula Kerger.
Okay. Roll it.
I've been through these battles now for a number of years. I've been at PBS almost 20 years, and I remember even going back to the Newt Gingrich days. But this is different, because what's at risk are our stations, our public television, our public radio stations across the country. We get 15% of our funding from the federal government. That's 1.5%, but that's an aggregate number. Some of our stations in small communities, it's 40 to 50% of their funding, and for them it's existential, and that's what's at risk if this funding goes away.
What do you say to that, Scotty?
Oh, well.
That's it? That's all you got?
Hey, man, I think if on your tax forms every year or whatever you do with your company, there's a little box you check for 2% of your income going to PBS. I don't care. That's up to you.
That it means that much to you, then, yeah, go right ahead. Okay.
Give them money. But during the pledge drive, go ahead, back up the truck.
Oh, and you know that. So it's an interesting situation that they have with PBS because – so the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will send individual stations money for operating costs. And so she claims that there are multiple stations where that makes up 50% of their operating budget. Well, the thing is, though, is that all of those stations then pay for the right to air national PBS programming. So the money's getting funneled back up into the mothership, essentially, instead of just staying in the local stations.
Well, they're not going to tell you that.
You might have to just run the aardvark.
Well,
Arnold is too expensive. You can't have it.
Well, and then because you look on PBS's own pledge drive info sheet, they say PBS is commercial free. Many people mistakenly believe that public funding provides the bulk of our resources. And then goes on to talk about the 15% of the revenue for the public television system. That's an investment of only $1.40 per taxpayer per year. So it's really not much.
Okay, have you looked at the content? That's the thing they don't do. That David Brooks guy was on one of the networks over the weekend talking about biased. Biased compared to what? If you look at what we put out there on PBS, it is, he said this, straight down the middle. I was like, you got to be joking me. That an NPR? I mean, that's...
Quit trying to sell that, man. Just knock it off.
Well,
you're insulting us.
You are, but I suppose if you really need that funding, you can't be honest and say, listen, obviously, we're on the left. At this moment in time, they can't say that, so they're just going to say those ridiculous things. I don't know, man. It's just insane to me. And we've just put up with it for years and years and years, and finally someone's saying, no, this is ridiculous. Meanwhile, you know, today is Cinco de Mayo. 13% of Americans have no idea what it's all about. And some people will look at that as like a terrible thing. Well, it's not our country. And you can give people a break on that. But there was a new poll out. 39% of Americans say it's Mexican Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not. But a lot of times when you're, what, learning about Cinco de Mayo, what are you learning about? Well, there's going to be specials on Corona or Modelo or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
That's basically it. Did you learn it in school, Scott?
I don't remember Cinco de Mayo being a thing, but... maybe it was. I just didn't. I slept through it.
It wasn't that I remember.
Yeah.
It may have been for you, David.
Yeah, in Texas. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of the border states actually celebrate Cinco de Mayo more than actual Mexicans do. Like, it's not much of a thing in Mexico.
I always thought it was just the beer companies thinking, hey, man, we make a killing on St. Patrick's Day. Can't we do this?
Probably that's what it is more than anything.
That's what I figured that it probably was. 13% of Americans said, yeah, it's a fun excuse to drink.
Sure.
They were honest. And then the other 13% said, yeah, I don't know what it's all about. Yeah.
Back when I was drinking, I went at least four times a year to be some sort of holiday, Mexican holiday, so I could drink.
Well, yeah.
And not feel bad about it.
And hey, why are you xenophobic if we can't have some Coronas today?
There you go.
Yeah. All right. News update and the five stories we're watching today. Straight ahead.